Now that line there, which I'm imagining, is Maya. It is when the inner light, the ultimate light, which is no light, comes into manifestation that this Maya veil is passed. I once saw a little kitten that found itself reflected in a mirror. The mirror was without a frame and was standing against a wall. And this little creature saw itself in the mirror and thought it was another. And its back went up in that usual way, and its hair stood out, and it began stalking this animal, and as it showed aggression, so did the other. And it went at it, and at it, and at it, and then got past the mirror, and there was no other animal there. And it came back, and there it was again, and this went in the other, it was a marvelous thing to see, it went the other direction, and again the other thing disappeared. And then it started looking behind the mirror for what would have been there, and of course, there was no one there but itself. It had lost its object. It didn't even think of itself, really, as a subject. And I thought, well, good gosh, this is an image of Maya, exactly. No one can say what Maya is, because this side of Maya, we live within its atmosphere, as fish do in water. But that side of Maya, there's no one there to know anyhow. So when you come back, it's just as mysterious as anything you can imagine. Maya is said to have three powers. The first power is called the obscuring power. It shuts out, as it were, the white light of eternity. Or you might think of it as a prism now. The white light strikes the prism. The second power is called the projecting power. Here, the forms of the world are projected. Just as through the prism, the seven colors of the rainbow are projected. Now, no one who had never seen white light could imagine white light from looking at the seven multicolored lights. However, if these seven are arranged on a disc and the disc is made to spin, you will see the white light again. And so we say Maya has a third power, namely the revealing power. Maya, in mythological language, is the mother of the world. This is the feminine aspect. The white light is neither masculine nor feminine because it transcends polarities, it transcends dualities. Whereas this side of the prism, this side of Maya, is where we find male and female and the pairs of opposites. This is the basis of the matriarchal religions. All forms, even the form of God, the Father, are within the womb of Maya. We are within her womb. It is the womb of space, time, and causal relationships, what Kant calls the a priori forms of sensibility. This is exactly Maya, and this is exactly why, following Kant, Schopenhauer was able, point for point, to interpret the Indian terminology in Kantian terms. Brahman would be the Kantian Ding an sich, which is no ding, which is no thing. It transcends all categories, both the forms of sensibility and the categories of thought are enclosed within the womb of Maya. And so, God, as we speak of him and think of him and name him as well. The Lord of the world is seen at this point, the sixth, which is below this level of Maya's domain. Now, there's a lovely little Madonna, a 15th century Madonna in the Museum of Cluny in Paris. She sits with the Christ child on her arm and the globe of the universe in her left hand. And her chest can be opened as a cabinet. She opens out like this. And within, one sees God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, and the whole choir of heaven. The whole imagery of the heavens, of the hells, of our theology is enclosed within her. And this image is exactly the Maya image. So much then for this projection.